Well, good evening. Let's see if we got my PowerPoint coming up. Is that possible? Oh, good. Yeah, letting go of the clock. Well, I volunteered to do this and didn't realize what it was about. That caught me out a bit. The bit underneath is the clue, patience in adversity. But it's still about the clock. Oh, yeah. That's the start to one of my favorite albums. I'm rubbish at patience. Just rubbish. I don't do patience very well. Check it out with Jenny. She'll tell you it's true, mostly. So, a while ago, I had this idea that I didn't like hospital appointments. They always seemed to not... They didn't seem to start on the moment. You know, the moment where they said they were going to start? They didn't start then. So I had this great idea. I booked myself a business appointment for 1 hour after the start of the medical appointment. I walked into the hospital. Hello, I'm Colin Usher. I've come for my appointment. Oh, by the way, I have a business appointment at 3 o'clock. I need to be out of here at 2:30. So if you don't, if I can't be seen by 2:15, I'll just have to go. So, you know, the reception was like, what? Who has a business appointment 1 hour after a hospital appointment? Thank you. 15 minutes later, I'm back at the desk. Right, I'm going to have to go soon, so you need to get me in to see the consultant, like, now. How about right now? So that, you know, just shows that I'm... No, I wasn't patient. Useless. Yeah, the trouble with things like that is that actually it did work. So I did it again the next time, yeah? I think possibly I have calmed down a little bit since then, just a teensy bit. But yeah, it's not one of my strong points. But then, if you knew me, you might ask a really deep and meaningful question. Colin, how is it that you stayed at this church for the first decade when it was this incredibly stuffy Presbyterian thing? Where all they did seem to get into is an argument about, you know, whether the church should be stuck in the 19th, maybe even the 18th century, it seemed at times, or whether it should maybe move into the 20th century, ready to move into the 21st. So, but I think that was the grace of God that kept me here, and some lovely friends like George and people like that, and Jimmy. I thought he was sitting there a second. Oh, he is beside George, yeah. So, time. It's not easy waiting for God to do stuff, is it? It's not easy at all. He sometimes takes us totally by surprise and actually almost acts ahead of our prayers. Well, actually he does. You know, the jumping thing I do because my knees got healed when I hadn't asked him to, but he still did it. Well, you know, that's great. But often we do have to be patient and wait. We have to keep on praying. We have to keep on waiting. It sometimes almost feels like we've been forgotten by him. But we haven't, of course. Let's just think about, for the moment, about a well-known tale from the Bible, the story of Joseph. So his brothers think he's a bit of a smart aleck, and they decide to kill him. It's a bit extreme. But anyway, they decide not to go quite so extreme, and they just sell him into slavery instead, and he's carted off to Egypt. Well, he lands up in Egypt, and he's working for this nice chap called Potiphar as his servant. Unfortunately, Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him of adultery, and he lands up in jail. Great. Okay, well, he was a smart aleck. He was quite clever, and soon he's the administrator of the jail, despite being a prisoner there, but he's still in jail. Then a couple of blokes in the prison with him have a dream, and... actually, Joseph is able to interpret it. So, it might be a little small. Anyway, I'll read it. This is Genesis chapter 40, and this is the cupbearer's dream. Starts at verse 9. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand. This is what it means, Joseph said to him. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift your head and restore it to your position, restore you to your position, and you'll put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness, mention me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this prison. So then we go on to the baker's dream, which Joseph also interpreted. He said, this is what it means. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale you on a pole. And the birds will eat your flesh. Ooh, not very nice. So do very different outcomes forecast by Joseph. Anyway, at least the chief cupbearer lived to tell the tale. And obviously, he would be able to help Joe get out of prison, wouldn't he? Well, unfortunately not. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. So he's still in prison. For 2 years. Joseph had to keep on waiting, and sometimes that is our lot too. So we move on to Genesis 41. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up 7 fat cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. Pharaoh fell asleep again. A little bit more sound, I think, possibly. We aren't getting the full effect. I was so tempted to sing this. Yeah, I really feel that, you know, the Pharaoh part is mine. So the same thing happens with the heads of grain, obviously. And nobody can interpret this dream. But then we find that the chief cupbearer suddenly comes to life. And he says to Pharaoh, today I'm reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servant, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now, a young Hebrew was with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled. So I'm sure that Joseph at times must have really felt desperate. His life had not gone as he had expected. And yet, we know from the story that actually God was in charge all the way along. In the end, Joseph's great gift of inspired knowledge saved the people of Israel from starvation. And it also saved his own family. His brothers, had sold him into slavery, and yet in the end, he was their salvation. He was their savior. Sounds about a bit like another story we're pretty familiar. But for Joseph, this was a hard path. He had to wait. He had to grow up. He had to grow considerably older. It was as if all his dreams were coming to nothing. And we can feel like that at times. that things are not working out as we expected them to. It is common to us all, young and old. But he was not totally wedded to his dreams. He couldn't be, because so many things happened to him. But they were still his guide, but not his crutch. They showed the general direction of his life. He'd had this sense that there was something very important about his life when he was young. Trouble is, he used it to sort of lord it over his brothers. And that stayed with him, that sense that God was taking him on this journey. It obviously worked out completely different from what he'd imagined when he was young. And I think that's such an important lesson to us all, this lesson of patience, of being willing to wait, to see how things will be unfolded by the living God. Sadly, I've seen quite a few people damage their own lives by having a dream that they have insisted had to work out the way that they wanted it to, rather than letting God be at work in the tapestry of their lives. They keep on pushing at a door that will only open a tiny little bit. I think people in the design world are very prone to this. Some of the young architects I've seen through my own practice have sometimes found it really hard to understand why things are not working out in this dream way that they had originally thought. But I think it happens to lots of people. They keep on pushing at a door that is never going to open in the way they expect. We as Christians need to have the patience to understand that God is at work in all the ups and downs of our lives. In my experience, my dreams never worked out the way I thought they would, nor on the anticipated timescales, sometimes quicker, sometimes slower. Some were fulfilled miraculously. Others, as yet, remain unfulfilled. And of course, hindsight, when you're my age and had lots of experience behind you, is wonderful. It allows us to see what God has been up to in our lives, in our church, even in our world, in our work, in our school, in our family. But we need patience in order to get to the point where we can have that hindsight. Victor Havel, the former president of the Czech Republic, once said, "Hope is not the conviction that something will turn out well, but the certainty that something makes sense regardless of how it turns out." I think that's an amazing statement, but it's something that I think we all need to take on board, at least to some degree, because in our lives, God is always at work. So although it might not turn out the way we want it to, when we look back at it, it will make sense, regardless of how it turned out. Quite a lot of people give up on church. And when they're asked, that they say, "Well, I haven't given up on the Christian faith, or I haven't given up on God," but they say they've been feel let down by the church. They have noticed that we do not seem to be as welcoming to some sections of societies and act towards them in a more discriminatory way than the world does. Their friends, their sons, their daughters have challenged them, and they've not been able to answer that they felt, they've not been able to give an answer that they felt comfortable with. And they've lost patience. I think that's incredibly sad. I might agree to some extent with where they're coming from. I too think that we can make mistakes and treat people poorly. But my take on this is that if I'm not here within the body of Christ to be the catalyst for patient change under the guidance of God's Holy Spirit, then I can't really be doing the will of God. Sadly, I've watched us cause damage to the lives of others, even here at West Kirby URC. And I confess that I've even been a participant in that from time to time. You can't escape getting things wrong, and particularly true if you're in a position of leadership, because we are imperfect. We are not God. But I will patiently persist. We all are called to patiently persist. Maybe I won't be so patient in my persistence, actually. Sometimes I quite impatiently persist, but I will persist. I think sometimes I'm like the psalmist in Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? I too have been through tough times in life. Thankfully, for me, they have never lasted more than a year or two. I know and love people whose tough times look like they are a lifetime. My lovely sister, how long, O Lord? Yet she persists, slowly losing the use of her body. She persists. It's a challenge to me. She is amazing. How long, O Lord? Our lives can be worn down by the cares of this world, but we are still called to persist, to be patient, to wait upon the Lord, and in that there is triumph. And the psalmist finds it too at the end of this psalm. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. He's been good. And actually, he's been good for my lovely sister too. Surrounded her with brilliant friends, even though her body fails her. At Christmas, I was staying with Duncan, my oldest son, in Southampton. I was aimlessly humming a tune when Duncan took me a bit by surprise and said, "Dad, is that the theme tune to your life?" I was a bit taken aback. What was he talking about? Well, it's that song that was originally sung by Fat Fish and now is still, I think, being performed by the member of Fat Fish, Lou Fellingham, on that day. There is a day, it's called. I'll play you a little bit of it. If we can have some sound. I do sing this quite a lot, I realize. Maybe he's right. Maybe it is sort of my theme tune. That sense that there is a day, there is an extraordinary day, when Jesus will return. An extraordinary day when we will die, one or the other. Maybe soon, Lord? It's quite amazing. But we have to be persistent. We can't expect this to happen, just everything to sort out, everything to work right. That's not what our life is, not this life. There is a day. Death has been swallowed up in victory. We have to remain patient. But eternity beckons us. I look towards that horizon with expectation, even perhaps with some excitement. Although, as with all long journeys, I do feel a little bit of trepidation also. I'm not the most calm traveler. So on this, I can be patient, I think. For in some measure, I know that the joy of salvation somehow foretells the joy of eternity. And when I worship the Lord, I can just see over the horizon of my mortality, just kind of beyond. Sometimes I'm caught up in a real sense that God is right here amongst us. Kind of just astonished by that personal touch. We probably all feel that in very different ways from each other because we're all such different personalities. But for me, it seems like a touch of heaven. I can only understand these things sometimes when I'm in worship. How long will my life last? How long will it be until Jesus returns to restore all that is broken? Then all hurt and pain will cease, and we'll be with him forever, and in his glory we will live. Yes, we know that in this life there are troubles that weigh us down. But the song also says, so lift your eyes to the things as yet unseen that will remain now for all eternity. Though trouble's hard, it's only momentary, and it's achieving our future glory. That is a really hard verse to sing in the middle of trials. But I do think maybe Duncan was right. Maybe it is my theme tune. And I'm going to keep on singing it till my last breath. When life is at its worst, there's only one place that I can go. I will go to Christ. I will go to his people, the church. I will weep. I will be real. I may be even impatient out loud. I will seek prayer, the prayer of my friends. If I am patient, then it'll be only God's strength and by his grace. And I'll worship him. Sometimes it might just be an act of absolute will to worship him. I will worship him despite how I feel. But he, in my experience, breaks through in those moments, through my misery, into my soul. And he fills me with his peace that passes all understanding and the hope that will not let me go. There's a place in paradise for you and for me. It's good to keep that in mind. Paradise, the garden of the king. That sounds like a nice place to be. And that recognition, that realization, will take us on through this world's toughest times. I testify to you, God has done that for me in my toughest times. Whether I was young, just a new convert, and bad things happened, or old, when bad things happened to my family, but God has been with me. And I know and I believe that he will do it again and again. So I'll be real. I will be patient as best I can. I will laugh. And I will cry too. You probably know that because you've probably seen me do it right here. Because I don't think there is any place to hide our emotions from one another. And I will repeat the last verses of Psalm 13. But I trust in your... Hang on, I've gone too far. I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. I'm going to invite the band to come back, and let's just spend a moment of prayer together. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you call us to be faithful, patient, and persistent. And that when things feel rubbish in our lives, when we've gone wrong, or when the world has gone wrong around us, you will still be standing there. As we turn to you for comfort and to give you worship, Lord, that we find you are there, always with us, always patient with us, always persistent.